Can you comment a little bit on where we are right now with circulating tumor cells?
Yeah, we've been very excited about this. People have been looking at circulating tumor cells since 1850, so this is not a new idea. But what is new is the ability to look at them accurately. And again, as a conflict statement, I've been very much involved with a company called Immunicon, and that's because they've worked very hard not just at finding these cells, but actually finding them accurately and reliably and reproducibly with a system they call Cell Search. I've received research funding from them. I've received occasional honorary from them as a consultant, although, again, not for the last 2 years. But I have received research funding from them up until now. We continue to here. Anyway, their assay is based on immunomagnetic separation, and I won't go through the details except to say at this point now, literally, it's a white box instead of a black box, but it's an entire system including a proprietary tube that has a fixative in it. You can't just draw blood into a regular blood drawing tube. You have to really put it into a good fixative so the cells can live for up to 72 hours. They can be mailed, therefore, to third-party labs and get really accurate results, and I won't bore you with all the quality assurance stuff, but we're convinced this is true. We began a prospective study in metastatic patients. It was any patient with measurable metastatic disease who was about to start a new therapy, not necessarily first-line therapy. It could be a new hormone therapy, it could be second-line hormone therapy, new chemotherapy, second-line, third-line chemotherapy. They just had to have measurable disease and have progressed on their last therapy and starting a new one. This involved about 6 or 7 academic centers and several private practices around the country. It was prospective. We enrolled 177 patients. And we asked the question, did baseline circulating tumor cells or subsequently drawn circulating tumor cells predict outcome? The other thing we did that we're pretty proud of is that we split this into a test set, the first 100 patients, and a validation set, the second 100 patients. We worked out the cutoffs and all the algorithms in the first 100, and then we applied them with no monkey business to the second 75 or 77 patients and got almost identical results. That's reassuring. It's reassuring that we got almost identical results because you'd like to see the assay give the results twice, and if they were absolutely identical, I wouldn't trust our data. So it turned out quite well. These data were published in the New England Journal of Medicine. Massimo Cristofanelli was the first author in August of 2004. And set the stage, and it said the following. One is if you have about 50% of patients had elevated circulating tumor cells before they started the therapy, and if you had elevated cells, your odds of progressing and dying were much higher than if you didn't have circulating tumor cells at the time you started. Now, they all have metastatic disease. Almost all the patients at this point now have begun to progress on whatever they started, but there was a clear-cut difference. So it was prognostic in that regard. More importantly, if at first follow-up, 3 to 5 weeks after you start a new therapy, you still have elevated cells, and about 30% of patients still do, so it goes from a 50% at baseline to a 30% at first follow-up, then your odds of progressing within the next month are about 50%, or put another way, the median time to progression was about 4 to 6 weeks from that blood draw. Compared to if you didn't have them, it's in an order of 7 to 8 to 9 months. So there's an enormous difference in the time to progression based on whether or not you still have circulating tumor cells. If you cleared, if you were one of the 50% who became negative at first follow-up, you're on the upper curve. You look just like the patients who didn't have circulating cells to begin with. So that was very exciting.